But you know, what's Christmas without His Word? It's everything to us, isn't it? 1,700-year-old prophecy I'll look at in Genesis 49, verse 10. And then I'm going back over to Luke in just a moment. And I think sometimes before we do certain things, I think it helps people, especially when they're not acquainted with those things, to understand why that we do them. Anointing is one of those particular items. It's mentioned in the book of James. Is there any sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And Janet's right in tune with the Spirit today. And I think there's others that perhaps you need a miracle at Christmas. And that's the theme of our entire Christmas season this year. It's the miracle of Christmas. Several miracles occurred. And God is so good to bring miracles into our lives. Great miracles He's brought to us. Use people to do that. Friends to do that. I look across the sanctuary today and see so many folks that have come in to visit with us. And we're glad you're here. And many of you have been friends for a long time. It stirred me to see Greg here. Brother, so good to see you this morning. And wonderful to have you out with us and your dear wife. And we're thankful that God performs those miracles of bringing right people into our life at the right time. And the Lord has done some miraculous things through prophecy and His Word. Prophetically, He's speaking 1,600 to 1,700 years before Jesus comes through His servant that is now dying. I preached a series of sermons on the actual prophecies on each one of these sons. But this one phrase in particular I call your attention to in Genesis 49 and verse 10. He's prophesying to Judah, because we know it's out of the tribe of Judah that the Messiah was to come. And when He prophesies to Judah, He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, Shiloh was not referring to the city Shiloh in the Bible. It's referring to a person. All of the rabbis believe to this day that Shiloh is a phraseology that was used to point to the Messiah. And he gives us some great insight as to what was fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, when we know there were shepherds abiding in the field by night. And when they were there in the 11th verse, they heard the great command concerning Shiloh. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Shiloh has come. 1,600 years they looked for that prophecy to be fulfilled. Do you know how blessed we are to be on the other side of the coming of the Messiah? Some of us this week had the privilege to meet with a gentleman from Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, we met for one reason, but I feel it took an entirely different course. Because as soon as I sat down, we talked back and forth. And within a matter of 2 minutes, he told me, I'm a Messianic Jew. And when he said that, some were looking, you know, raising their eyebrows. What's a Messianic Jew? He said, that means I've been born again. I'm a Christian Jew. What a reverse of terms, a Christian Jew. But he means he was born Jewish, but he's accepted Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as his Savior. See, they are that, there's that group. There are those today that they're still looking for him to come, when we know he's already come. So for this 1,600 to 1,700 years, they were telling their children and their children's children, there's going to come a day when Shiloh's going to come. Mom, Dad, who's Shiloh? And they would start to tell what the name Shiloh meant. Really, the name Shiloh had four different meanings to it. What a title when the Lord prophesied and said, Shiloh is coming. That title had four different meanings to it. The first meaning was a messenger, or one that is sent. Not someone that is coming by accident. He's coming from God, Jehovah. The Lord's going to send him at just the right time. And when God's time is fulfilled and the fullness of time has come, God will send His Son, the Messiah, Yeshua. He'll come. He'll be the one that'll bear the sins of the world. God will put everything in order. So as you wait and as you tarry, don't get discouraged with it. Don't be like that child that's waiting on Christmas to come, wondering will it ever get here. We don't have to wonder and wait for that to come. We know that He has already come. And he is the one that is sent. Sent by God, sent through the power of the Holy Ghost, sent through a wonderful virgin as she conceived by the power of God. He is the sent one. The messenger. Not only is he the messenger, but he's also the peacemaker. That's what the word Shiloh means, peace. Peace. That's where they get the word shalom from. It's a rendering of the word Shiloh. He will be the Prince of Peace. He will be the one that all peace will rest upon him. Without him, there'll be no peace. We live in a world where folks search for peace constantly. Can I find peace? Is there any peace? I think we're all plagued with that. Those sleepless nights and wondering what we're going to do about situation, waiting for peace to come. But when he comes, Shiloh comes, there will be an opportunity for peace. No wonder they said in their greetings concerning him, he was not only the Savior, but he was the one that would bring goodwill and peace toward men. You cannot have peace without Jesus. It's impossible. You simply will never have the peace that you're looking for. Try as you might. Do what you want. There'll be no peace without the Lord. But then that word had another meaning. Deliver. I like that word. Deliver. Well, you've got to be in something before you can get delivered from it. Oh, excuse me, I'm feeling God right now. Because I would venture to say, probably the majority of us, we know what deliverance is all about. We've got ourselves in situations that we didn't intend to get into. And we found ourselves in places that we didn't like. And we felt trapped. Why do you think that one of the greatest, fastest growing areas in the pharmaceutical community are the drugs to deal with depression? Do you know the major cause of depression? A feeling as though you're trapped. A feeling of helplessness. A feeling as though you're in a situation that you cannot get out of. And you mark this down, my friend. Saved or lost. When things come into your life, the first thing the devil will tell you, I've got you now and you can't get out. There's no way out. But then suddenly we are reminded, we are not waiting on Shiloh to come. He has already come. And he is the deliverer. He has the power to set us free. He has the power to take away the things that hold us in bondage. He has come that we might have freedom, glorious freedom through Jesus. Now deliverance is not restricted. Deliverance can reach into every realm of our life. If you're here today and you're sick, deliverance can come. Somebody said to preacher, I'm praying for you. Praying the Lord will heal you. Too late. He already has. Well, don't you have the symptoms? Yes, but I've been delivered. Why? Because I gave it to him. If he's got it, you can't go wrong. And that's really what all of these processes we talk about, whether it's praying for sick folk, or having them on a prayer list, or calling out their name every day, or going to visit them and pray for them. It's all the same thing. We are committing that thing into the hands of God to say, Lord, when we reach the place that the doctor cannot help us, you're still able to help us. You have the power to do all things. Not only deliver us from disease, but deliver us from drugs, bad habits. Don't shout me down now. Deliver us from the vices that hold us. I am so tired of seeing people try every other realm in life except Shiloh. There are some things that only God can do. We've got a problem in this county, whether you realize it or not. It's a growing problem. It's a drug problem. It's a terrible problem. It's destroying lives. Well, let me go one step beyond that. It's not a problem. It's sin. That's our first mistake. We keep calling it a problem. It's not a problem. Sin's always a problem. It's sin. I know what you're saying. You're trying all the routes of the world. And that problem that is a result of sin is no longer dealt with at the base roots. And instead of trying, I hear this all the time. Had my radio on the other day. Talk show host. What we need to do is legalize drugs. We've already got one branch of drugs that's legalized. They're called prescriptions and we can't control them. They're destroying homes by the millions. I just made a little round this week. I made a round into 5 different convenience stores. In all 5 convenience stores, I found multiple drug paraphernalia available over the counter. Don't look. See, that's your problem. You think I'm a preacher and I don't know what's going on. While all of you sit back and talk about it, I'm the guy driving down Waller Street and going through these other places trying to tell people this stuff's going to kill you. It's going to ruin you. You sit back and say, well, what do you mean drug prep? Have y'all ever noticed on the counter those little glass tubes that have a little rose inside of it, 99 cents? Isn't that the ugliest rose you ever saw in your life? You don't think people buy that for the rose, do you? Would somebody help me preach this morning? You now buy hollowed out cigars that they're apple flavored, peach flavored, strawberry flavored. You all look at me like I'm crazy. You can buy them all over this county. Why are they hollowed out? Why are they flavored? It's like incense. It has that essence of strawberry. Come on, any of you guys that smoked, you wouldn't want a peach cigar. Am I right or wrong? It is the odor that it gives off. It's so when you're smoking pot in public, it smells like incense instead of pot. Hey, folks, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I go into stores, they got these tobacco wrappers. They even advertise them as hemp wrappers. What do you think they're doing with those? I never see them buy Prince Albert in a can. When they buy them, and to make it legal, all you've got to do is have a can of tobacco behind. That's not what's there. We are adding to the problem. And somebody says, well, what we need to do, we need to legalize it. Legalize it if you want. Legalize it like you've legalized alcohol. And all you've got is more problems on your hands. Because we've got to get back to the basic and tell people, that's not going to take your problems away. You're not going to feel better come Monday morning after you spend a week's paycheck to do something to make you forget the week that you've just gone through. What you need is divine deliverance that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power to set you free. Billy stood right here the other night, said he had tried and tried and tried. Finally made his mind up. Took his habits and wadded them up, threw them in a trash can. How did he do that? A deliverer. He is able to deliver you from situations that you have no control over. He is able to deliver you from those that set out to try to falsely accuse you and try to destroy your life. He is able to deliver you from people that make a way in their life to somehow come against you with harm and to destroy you. We serve a God that is able to deliver us. Do you know why the church is in the mess it's in? They don't understand deliverance. They get free from one thing, and then once God sets them free, they forget all about Him and say, I'm free, now I can do what I want to do. Something I've observed in 28 years of preaching. Do you know there's certain people that once they're converted, you can bank on them. You really can. Someone that is a strong military background, has a strong military background, when they get saved, I've noticed they discipline themselves and become real disciples of the Lord and follow the Lord. I couldn't understand why. Why? And some would say, well, it's the training that they have. I don't think that's what it is. A lot of people have training, but they won't stick with it. They get delivered and they forget all about it. Some of you, He delivered you. When it first happened, you shouted and praise God, now you hit skip and miss. You forgot your deliverance. Now, I can't forget what He's done for me. It's just as fresh in my mind today as the day the Lord set me free. I started thinking about that. You know, they tell me, I've never served, but I've talked to a lot of people that have. And they said, when you serve, the first thing that they do after you go through the line and you know, they'll give you your dog tags, they'll give you a uniform, give you a hat, give your outfit, give your boots. And on almost all of that, I've seen it. It's got a stamp on it. You know what the stamp says? Property of. Have a hat that says property of. Have a shirt that says property of. They have their fatigues that says property of. Everything is the property of somebody else. Now the reason that if they've been a good military person, they usually are very disciplined to make a very good Christian is because they understand quick that when the government issues that, they're not saying that the hat is property of the U.S. government. They're not saying that the clothes are property of the U.S. government. They're saying what's in the hat. What's in the clothes are property of the United States government. And they realize, I don't own myself anymore. I belong to somebody else. And the problem that we're facing in America today, even in the church world, is they get saved, but too many people do not understand, you are not your own. I am not my own. We've been bought with a price. He has delivered us to be our Savior, our Lord, our King, our ruler. Now we no longer have the say. He has the say. He didn't deliver us for us to make our choices and go the wrong way. He delivered us to guide us, bless us, help us, lead us. We are the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you live under the Lord. Whether you die under the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. He's a deliverer. Then there's one other term for that. Savior. It's what the word Shiloh means, Savior. See, only a Savior can give you peace. Only a Savior can give you deliverance. Only a Savior can bring the message that changed the world. There's been lots of people that claim they had a message, but they've never saved anybody. But Shiloh, he has the power not only to bring the message, but he has the power to do what he says. He can say it to you, you can believe it, you can trust in it, and he'll do exactly what he promised he would do in Scripture. He's a Savior. Had the privilege this week of going in and visiting my uncle. He's near death. My uncle's a good man. Good to his family. Good to us. But my uncle never wanted anything to do with church. Ever. Ever. At the age of 6, he almost drowned. They were able to revive him. God spared him through that. Had a good job. Worked hard all of his life. Now his lungs is gone. His health is gone. His body's gone. I went in to visit him. He said, you have a minute? Said, I want you to sit down. I want to talk to you. I said, sure. I sat down and he looked at me. He had a tear in his eye. And that was unusual because I'd never seen my uncle cry. In all my years of being close, I've never seen him cry. But a tear came down out of his eye and dripped down his cheek. And he said, I got a favor to ask out of you. I said, sure. What do you need? You know, I thought, maybe he needed me to do something for his wife, do something for the family. And he said, when you leave here, I want you to call your mom and dad. I said, sure. I'll be glad to call. He said, is there something I need to tell them? He said, yeah. You tell them just what I'm about to tell you. And he went into a story of how, as a boy, he went to church, a young man, he went to church, and he made up his mind he was going to do it without God, and he went the wrong direction. And all of those years, he basically told his wife, you never mention God to me. I'll do anything in the world, but I will not ever go to church. I have no interest in church. I have no interest in serving God. And he said, I've made my mind up, and that's all there is to it. Now you tell me that we don't serve a Savior. For all those years, he's told his wife and his boys, I'll love you, I'll take care of you, I'll do anything, but one thing I ask, never, ever ask me to come to church. His boys work for Nelson. I believe God sent them to Nelson to work. One of them still doesn't attend church, but Sean promised Nelson he'd come to church back in the summer or early spring. He came to church about three times and sat right back here. And then one Sunday night down the alley came. Sean got saved. Now he lives about 20 miles or better north of Ironton on 93. That's a good hour to an hour and 15 minute drive each way here. At first he came back and forth, and then he found him a little church there in the community that he's living and going to church regularly. But he still couldn't talk to his dad about the Lord. But what he did, he just lived the life. And you know what? A God that my uncle said, I don't ever want you to talk about him. I don't ever want to hear anything about him. He sat there and started to weep uncontrollably. He said, you tell your mom and dad that I've got everything right between me and God. He said, I'm not afraid to die. Only a Savior can do that to people that will deny Him and spit in His face and go on and reject Him. Only a Savior can do that. Oh, Lord, please come. Some of you have come with a heavy heart today. And you're not here by accident. And you might have gotten an invitation and you came because of that invitation. But way down inside, you've come today because you're looking for something. You're needing some peace in your life. You're needing some hope in your life. Now, I don't have anything to offer you. But I know a Savior that has the power to deliver you, has the power to change you, has the power to give you peace, and has the power to turn your life around. Some of you are so racked in situations you don't know what to do and where to turn. And what you need to do, oh Lord. What you need to do right now is come from your seat. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You need to come from your seat and let us introduce you to a wonderful Savior. Say, Cal, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my Savior. You don't know His power to deliver. You don't know His power to set you free. Now your problem is you say, I can't live it. You can't live it until you get it. And the only way you're going to get it is by coming to Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. See, I can't apologize for this. Every now and then the Holy Spirit just says, get out of the way and let me do the work. He's already hearing the hearts of the believer, but what's happening now is He's moving out through this sanctuary. He's touching people's heart and you're feeling a way that you haven't felt in a long time or maybe ever before. And something inside of you says, what that preacher is saying makes sense. You're without hope. You're going to have Christmas without Christ. The whole purpose of all of it is Christ. And you need to come to Him. As your heads are bowed for just a moment, your eyes are closed. In a moment, I have other things to say, but now's the time to give the invitation. You've come looking for something. Some of you here today, you need deliverance. Some of you need peace. Some of you just need to hear the message. Some of you need a Savior. Wonderful Savior. Lord, how we love you.